Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
And good evening, and welcome to the Voice of Indie podcast, show number 32. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and I'm coming through a telephone, so if I sound a little different, that is why. Microphone issue again, but we got it figured out. Just too late to do anything about it tonight. Welcome to my co-host, Stephen Jeeves. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing great. You just said show number 32. Wow, 32 shows so far. Man, I must have fallen asleep because number 7 is the last one I remember. So, doing great down here in Alabama today. We're pushing upper 70s. Everything is in bloom. The camellia bushes have big plate-sized flowers just hanging off the branches. Everything down here is looking really nice. And I hear even up there in the Mitten, you guys had a nice day.
We did. 70 degrees today. First 70-degree day of the year. Had the sunshine out. Walked around the yard looking at what I got to do here in a couple weeks to start the summer mowing and all that. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I love spring. I love summer. I can tolerate fall. I hate winter. But there you go.
And it's not even the Ides of March yet. Okay, nope. Listeners, we are monitoring Twitter. So if you want to put a tweet out and put hashtag Fresh Ink Group anywhere in the body of the tweet, we will see it. And unless it's considered threatening behavior, we'll probably read it on the air, whether it be a question for today's guest or a comment or an endorsement of her work, whatever. That's hashtag Fresh Ink Group over on Twitter.
Yeah, and if you would like to also call in, you can call in at 516-453-9902. Once again, that is 516-453-9902.
And as usual, when today's show is over, if you want to spread the word, either go back and listen again yourself or tell other people to go check out tonight's podcast or any of the other 31 podcasts that came before it. We're putting these shows out there in numerous places. For starters, if you go to freshinkgroup.com, we're putting them on the podcast tab. We're still doing some things with that website right now. We've just added two more tabs today, in fact, and you'll probably find there's a few odds and ends in the wrong places, but we're getting it together. The other places you can find the podcasts are at beamweeks.com, stephengees.com. Those are your two co-hosts for today's show. Or you can go to YouTube. And if you go to YouTube, search for the Fresh Ink Group channel, where you will find that we have added 3 more subscribers in the past week. So we are rocking and rolling over there.
Yeah.
And where else can they find them, Beam?
And they can also find us on Spotify. We are on Spotify. If you have a Spotify account, whether it's the paid account or the free account, doesn't matter. Go to Spotify and type in Voice of Indie, all one word, and you will find us. So, and every episode is over there. So if you miss one, go check it out.
Definitely. And of course, anytime you're on YouTube, hit that little thumbs up button. And if you're not already a subscriber, go ahead and subscribe. Because as you can see, we get really excited when somebody subscribes to that channel. I mean, really excited. We high five each other over Zoom and just jump up and down. But we've got today's guest waiting in the studio, and we don't want to keep her waiting any longer. Today's guest is noted best-selling author Vashti Quiroz Vega. And since you're going to want to go over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your favorite retailer, and look for her, I want to tell you that it's spelled Vashti, V-A-S-H-T-I, and then Quiroz Vega is Q-U-I-R-O-Z hyphen V-E-G-A. And here's her bio. Vashti Quiroz Vega is a writer of fantasy, horror, and thriller. Since she was a kid, she's always had a passion for writing and telling stories. It has always been easier for her to express her thoughts on paper. She enjoys reading almost as much as she loves to write. Some of her favorite authors are Stephen King, Sarah J. Maas, Anne Rice, J.R.R. Tolkien, J.K. Rowling, Mark Cameron, and George R.R. Martin. She enjoys making people feel an array of emotions with her writing. She likes her audience to laugh one moment, cry the next, and clench their jaws after that. When she isn't building extraordinary worlds and fleshing out fascinating characters, she enjoys spending time with her husband, J.C., and her Pomeranian, Scribbles, who is also her writing buddy. Welcome to the show, Vashti.
Hi, guys. I'm happy to be here.
Hi.
Well, we're glad to have you here.
Yeah, we've been talking about having you on for a while, so this is an honor and a treat for us.
Wow, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So we just heard your bio. Where are you from? Where did you grow up, and where can we find you now?
Okay, I grew up in New York City, and when I graduated from high school there, I moved down to Florida with my parents, and I've been here in Florida ever since, South Florida.
South Florida, and that's Pembroke Pines, is that right?
That's correct, Pembroke Pines.
So you're a little bit south of Orlando? I'm trying to picture where Pembroke is. I've seen it on the map.
Orlando, that would be, okay, Orlando is central Florida, and I'm in South Florida, so that's, I'm near the tip of the peninsula.
Oh, okay. Way down there.
Down past Miami.
Yeah. So, tell us about your family. Married, fur kid?
Yeah, I'm married. I have a Pomeranian named Scribbles. I lost my dad in 2017. My mom's still alive. I have a brother and two sisters.
Are they in Florida too?
Siblings are in Florida, except for my youngest sister, Kathy. She lives in New York.
Okay.
Do any of your siblings write as well?
No. My sister Cleo, she is into music. She plays the piano, she sings, and she teaches music.
My sister
Kathy is into, she's a, oh God, it's just, she's, never mind, I forgot what she is.
Sorry.
Couldn't think of the word.
She does something.
She's a social worker.
Social worker?
And my brother's a PA, so he's in the medical field as well. He's the only one that actually was in the medical field with me. Of my siblings. Hmm. My mother was a nurse.
Oh, okay.
So,
what about JC? What's he do? Does he participate in writing at all? No writing?
No, not at all. Well, he participates that in the sense that he reads my manuscript, but he doesn't write.
Oh, okay. Good feedback.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of writing, what sort of education do you have? What's your background there, education-wise?
Bachelor's in art and associate's in specialized technology. So really nothing to do with writing.
But everything has to do with writing.
Yeah.
I was just about to say that, Stephen, because everything has to do with writing. I mean, everything that I've been through, my experiences, my relationships, everything goes into my writing, even though I write fiction. So you're right. Everything has to do with writing.
Everything. So right now, for your career, you're a registered diagnostic medical sonographer, and have been doing that for how long? Have you been doing that?
Over 20 years.
Wow.
Technically, yes, I still have that title, but I'm not working as that anymore. It was I loved the career, but it was very, stressful and demanding, and after a while I was like, I've had enough. After 20 years, I'm like, I'm good. I'm gonna dedicate myself to my writing.
Yeah, that's always a good thing, though. If you can get into that position to where you can say, you know what, screw this, I'm going home and I'm going to write.
It took a long time for me to get in that position, but, you know, I'm lucky to be one of those people that were able to do that.
Yeah.
And my husband was 100% behind me on that. As a matter of fact, it was his idea. He's like, all right, you've done enough. You've been through it all. Let's just, you know, hang the towel for that part of your life and, you know, you can get into your writing. And I've never been happier.
That's great. So have you liked working from home and adapting to the situation of the past year?
The pandemic, yeah. I don't know if anyone could really adapt 100% to that. I've always been somewhat of a homebody. I mean, in the sense that I love where I live and I enjoy my own company and I'm always in my head anyway and writing or reading. So it's still an adjustment. Nevertheless, even for an introvert, it's still an adjustment.
Yeah, I'm hearing from a lot of people saying they're really loving it. They've adapted and really don't want to go back. But I'm hearing from a lot of other people, they miss the workplace, the people, the interaction. And, you know, I hear the same things from kids who are wanting to go back to school. A couple I've talked to, hey, they like it the way it is now. So everybody's adapting however they can. Now, Vashti, we're going to want to talk about your hobbies and your daily life and some things like that next, but we're going to take a real quick break for a commercial. We want to remind our listeners, call in 516-453-9902 or go over and post a tweet on Twitter with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in it so that we can read your tweet aloud. Now, the commercial we're about to show is for a book by Gwendolyn M. Plano, a Fresh Ink Group author. And we're getting ready to re-release her best-selling book, Letting Go Into Perfect Love, any day now. It's going to be on a 2-week pre-sale. So by next week's show, we should have some info for that. But this commercial is for the third book in her Heaven and Earth trilogy. Beam?
Best-selling author Gwen M. Plano presents The Culmination, A New Beginning, the final book in the Contract thriller series. In the first book, co-penned by best-selling author John W. Howell, the Earth is threatened with a catastrophic event, and Heaven's leadership intervenes with extraordinary measures to ensure the survival of the planet. In Book 2, The Choice, a confidential team uncovers a traitorous conspiracy that has as its goal world domination. The pressing question is, who can be trusted and who cannot? The Culmination, A New Beginning brings the Contract thriller trilogy to a close. After an assassination attempt on an Air Force base in Northern California, tensions mount. Heads of state meet to craft a denuclearization agreement. The meetings between these nuclear powers take a murderous turn. A nefarious conspiracy reemerges and leads the characters into the heart of the Middle East, where they encounter the unexpected and find a reason for hope. Grab your copy now of The Culmination, A New Beginning by Gwen M. Plano. Available worldwide in hardcover, paperback, and all major ebook formats. The Culmination is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
All right. So there you go. Get out there to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you want to spend your money and grab a copy of The Culmination and grab the other two books in the series as well.
The first one was penned with John W. Howell as her co-author, and then the second and third book she wrote on her own, and it's a terrific series. Vashti, you know Gwen Plano, don't you?
I sure do. I admire her as an author. She's a wonderful person as well.
Yes, she is.
So, Vashti, I understand that you've got a lot of hobbies, too. So why don't you share with our listening audience some of the things that you do to spend your time?
Yes, I have a lot of hobbies. I love drawing, photography, kayaking. I tried paddleboarding also, and I loved it. I like baking. And recently I've been wanting to try making my own soy candles. I love arts and crafts, in general. So.
Well, that was
I like
a lot
to always have a project going.
Yeah, that's a lot to keep you busy. Let's start with the drawing. What kind of things do you like to draw, and what medium you're using? Is this like charcoal or pencils or what?
I like pencils. I like watercolor. I've never tried charcoal. I like to sketch out my characters. It helps me to get to know them better. Descriptions. I like to draw maps of my world. It also helps me, you know, to when I'm writing, to know when I have to go, you know, north, I'm heading north, or I'm heading south, or whatever the case may be. And it just helps me picture my world and my characters in a almost 3D kind of way.
Now, you have some of the most impressive book covers that I've seen. I'm certainly jealous of them. Are you involved in those at all, or do you have a designer who does those? How do you get your covers together?
I'm very involved in my book covers. To me, book covers are extremely important. It's the first impression a reader gets of your book.
Yes, it is.
You know, and I myself love beautiful books. I love hardcover books. If there's a book I want to read, what determines whether I buy the ebook, the paperback, or the hardcover is which version depends on how much I love the book cover. And yeah, I was involved in the process. The drawings inside the little windows of each book was done by an artist that I know, and it was actually two different artists. And the other part that's around the window that looks like an ancient tome type of look.
Yeah, those are beautiful.
That was my idea to, because basically I wanted the books to look like something you would find like in an old medieval church or, you know, way back in the day when printing first began.
Well, you achieved that, definitely. They look like something that would come out of a fantasy realm, an old ancient tome that's got all the secrets of the universe in them, except they're stories by Vashti Quiroz Vega, which is almost as good as Secrets of the Universe.
Aw, thank you. The book cover lures the reader. After that, your blurb and the first few lines of your story will determine, you know, whether the reader will buy it. But first, they have to pick it up, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, so, yeah, because, you know, talking about the book covers and how important book covers are, I've got a whole bunch of books that turned out to be some of my favorite books that I picked up and looked at just because of the cover. The cover is what drew my attention, and I thought, wow, this looks interesting. And then I read the blurb, and, okay, it sounds interesting too, but it's that first pulled me in, and there's several of them that are like that have just really pulled me in.
Yeah,
I'm
sad to say. Yeah, the opposite is true, too.
What was that, Stephen?
I said, yeah, the opposite is true, too. A bad cover can turn you off. I've seen books that turned out they were really good books, but I hadn't given them a chance before because the cover just didn't do it for me.
Yeah. Well, we do have several comments here on Twitter. We're getting a backlog of them, so I'm going to go ahead and knock some of these down. Going back to... the beginning of the show, Verwayne Greenhouse says, all right, both of us are in the house. That's him and his wife, Lisa, are regular listeners. And Verwayne also said it was 46 degrees up there in the UP, and that's warm for the UP for this time of year.
Yeah, that's Upper Peninsula for you non-Michiganders.
that's way up north. Robert Willis-Croft says that in Denver, we're facing about 2 feet of snow by this weekend. Ouch. Wouldn't want that. We've gotten rid of our snow. And speaking of Gwendolyn Plano, she said, I'm enjoying Fresh Ink Group's Voice of Indie and the interview with author Vashti QV. That's your Twitter handle in there. And she says, my question, Vashti, you're an incredible writer. What prompted you to focus on the big questions in life, good versus evil, good angels and bad ones? Good question.
Yeah.
That is a very good question. I was raised in a religious home. I went to private school where religion was the first class every day. But yet, I read the Bible several times over, but yet there were questions that I still had that weren't answered in the scriptures. So one of the questions, I was always very curious about angels, and one of the questions I had is like, what were they really like? You know, what were their motivation, and how did the whole rebellion in heaven happen, and why did some of them turn bad? And these questions weren't really answered. So I decided I would write that book that I wanted to read.
Wow, that's pretty interesting, pretty deep there too.
That's like wielding a lot of power too, isn't it? You've got the power to get in there, explore the big issues, and give your take on it.
Well, listen, this book was a huge, huge challenge for me. Well, the first one in the series, The Fall of Lilith, it was an overwhelming challenge for me. And there were many times that I wanted to quit because I thought I couldn't do it. But something inside me kept pushing me to complete it because maybe curiosity. I just really wanted to know, and I felt like I was answering my own questions.
Wow.
Okay. Got to finish up a couple more of these comments. Robert Willis Croft has a question. He says, what computer program do you use for your writing?
Microsoft.
Microsoft,
Word.
Okay. Verwayne Greenhouse says, it's important to love others, but if you don't love yourself, your life will be miserable. I agree.
How true.
Miriam Hurdle says, hi, Vashti. I'm listening to your podcast. Welcome aboard, Miriam. Good to have you out there.
Glad to hear you, Miriam.
Marlena Smith is also out in the audience. She put a couple of tweets up here. She says, hi, all. So happy to hear Vashti on the Voice of Indie podcast. It's always interesting to learn the backgrounds of fellow writers. Looking forward to the rest of the show. And she says, also, I agree with Stephen. Your covers are beautiful, Vashti. The book cover is what often pulls me into the story as well. So
I'm
there you go with
way.
That.
Thank you so much, Martha.
Yeah, we've got a fine group of listeners out there, don't we, Vashti?
Yeah, love these people.
Yeah.
And it's growing week by week. So tell your friends, everybody.
Yeah.
Tune in.
So Vashti, you mentioned that you're into photography too. I've seen some of your pictures on Instagram. What are you doing with photography? Is it just a hobby? You're doing something professionally? And what kind of things do you like to take pictures of?
I took a couple of classes while I was in school, but it's a hobby. I've always been into photography. I got my first camera when I was about 11. It was one of those handle ones. Maybe I was 12. It was one of those little handle ones that the picture just came out of it, Polaroid type.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that was my first camera, and I would just take it everywhere, and my father would be screaming like, "Hey, that film cost money."
Yeah.
But at first I took pictures of everything and anything, but I love taking pictures of people. And nature, landscapes, but I'm always drawn to take pictures of people just naturally doing their thing.
Interesting.
I used to be the family's photographer until everybody got, you know, iPhones and the little digital cameras, and then I became obsolete. But I used to be the photographer for the family. Everybody always wanted me to go to the event so I can take pictures.
Yeah, those are the kind of pictures that are really, really interesting. I've recently discovered Vivian Meyer. And Vivian Meyer, she's passed away, but for 40 years she worked as a nanny in Chicago's North Shores for wealthy families. And she would go about her day and she would just take pictures of people on the street doing whatever it is they were doing. And then once she retired from being a nanny, she started traveling. She'd go to New York City, to Los Angeles. She went overseas to Europe. But she's got some amazing pictures of just people on the streets from the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, just, you know, doing whatever. and they're just
I would love
really
to see that. That's beautiful.
Amazing. Well, the Voice of Indy Instagram account has been posting some of those, a series of like four pictures each one. So at Voice of Indy on Instagram, there's some on there. But yeah, I mean, Google her and check her out. And I had never heard of her before, but you mentioned that taking pictures of people, just, you know, and that's what she did. And it's so cool. It's capturing moments in time.
So Vashti, we can find some of your photos on your Instagram account.
You'll probably find more on my blog than
okay.
my actual Instagram, because I usually post things about, I post some family pictures, but I usually post about writing or books. So you may not find a lot of them there, but maybe I'll start. Maybe I'll start putting them in there.
So you've got a blog and you're doing Instagram. What other social media are you working with?
Twitter, Facebook, although I the most popular one, the one that I use the most right now is Twitter. I've been growing my Instagram, so I've been using that a little bit more. As I learn more about it, I'm using it more and more. Facebook, I use it a couple times a week. I have Goodreads and BookBub, but mainly I just check those every so often. And I have my blog. I try to post once a week.
Okay. And at the end of the show, we're going to remind listeners how to find your blog and your various social media, whatnot, because I'm sure people will want to go out there and follow you and check out what you've been doing. So among your hobbies, obviously, reading is one of the biggest ones. What kind of stuff do you read for pleasure?
I love reading the same genres that I write, although my reading has expanded to many different genres lately. But I do love dark fantasy, horror, thrillers. I also love reading poetry. And I've gotten into reading memoirs as well. I read a couple of really good memoirs, and it's opened my eyes to and my taste buds to reading more memoir as well, historical fiction as well.
Yeah, memoirs. Wow. That's one that started me really being as an adult. I was a reader of pretty much just fiction when I was a kid. But as an adult, I got into the memoirs and the autobiographies and learning about other people's lives. That was just an interesting thing for me. And it didn't have to be anybody super thing.
And I find that characterization as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Reading about other people's lives, it kind of helps you with characters, building your own characters and developing
them. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Now, we do have a caller on the line.
What was that?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that I recently read The Bone Wall by D. Wallace Peach.
Oh.
And that's an excellent post-apocalyptic fantasy sci-fi. It's a complex story, but it's really fun. I've also read recently The Night Circus by Aaron Morgenstern and Fairy Myths and Magic by Colleen Chesebro. And right now I'm reading Situation Z, and I'm by A.M. Semple, and I'm finding it hard to put it down.
Really cool. All right, there you go.
Yeah, if you would put it down for a minute, at least during this interview, and then you can pick it back up.
Well, yeah.
Okay, Beam, you said we got a caller?
We do have a caller, so let's go ahead and go to this caller and find out who this is and where they're calling from. Hello, caller. Tell us what your name is and where you're calling from.
It is I.
Hello, Dr. Helen.
Hi.
Hi, Helen.
Listen, I've read a lot of Ms. Kira Vega's works, and I follow and retweet her regularly. She's very prolific, which I admire. So I'm here just to learn more about her and her writings. And I'm enjoying listening to this.
Ah,
well.
What I don't understand is how do the people get you the tweets, and yet they're not on the phone. This is, how do they listen other than, you know?
You don't have to listen on the phone. You just click on the link that comes out on either on Twitter. We put the link on Twitter. Or we do a MailChimp mailing every morning of the show, and there's a link in that. You just click on it, and you can listen to it on your computer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And
so
you listeners.
I just wanted to let her know that I enjoy. Also, her book covers are wonderful, and it makes you really want to reopen the book.
That's our favorite kind of call.
Much. I really appreciate that. Oh,
yeah.
But I always retweet all of her books.
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
Thank
you very
much, guys. Yeah, thanks for calling in, Dr. Helen. We appreciate the rousing endorsement.
Okay, I enjoy listening. Okay.
Great.
I also appreciate you.
We have a couple of comments on Twitter, too. Verwayne Greenho posted a photo. Said, Lisa took this one this morning as we were traveling. This deer came across the highway, bringing us to a stop, and then turned to stare at us for 10 to 15 seconds. So those of you on Twitter, get over there and have a look. Hashtag Fresh Ink Group. It's a beautiful picture of a deer looking at you like, what are you looking at? We've also got a Miriam Hurdle comment. She says, I love taking candid photos too, Vashti. Some people got upset with me and asked me to tell them before clicking. You and I share a lot of hobbies. I draw and do watercolor painting also.
And I knew all of that about Miriam. I love her pictures. I love her pictures.
Yeah. And with a smiley face, Robert Williscroft added, memoirs are often nothing more than historical fiction. I believe that.
Yeah.
And we have some posts from Bernard Fung, too, promoting some of his books. Fresh Ink Group member Bernard Fung. So make sure you check those out, too. We're going to have Bernard Fung on the show sometime in the coming weeks, we hope. So, Beam, you want to run another commercial?
Sure thing.
Okay.
A grand epic saga by Robert McKenzie. The Chair spans centuries, touching the lives of 22 related mothers and daughters. Their stories witnessed by a simple pine chair. Resolute, strong, loving, and fiercely protective, these women must strive to pass their values to new generations in a world of racism and sexism, politics, scandal, fashion, even the rise and dominance of baseball. They live in privilege and poverty, with faith and despair, relishing every moment of love, even as they suffer abiding grief. Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory spans the 1600s through World War I, while Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love, follows these women's descendants into modern times and beyond. An authentic and uniquely American novel, The Chair conjures the very hallmarks of history, yet navigates the simple intimacy of everyday lives to reveal who and why we are. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, The Chair, Volumes 1 and 2, are available worldwide in jacketed keepsake hardcover edition, handy softcover, and all major ebook formats from Kindle to Nook, Kobo, Google Play, iTunes, and more. Everybody sits, so find your own seat and discover The Chair.
All right. Now, Robert McKenzie, the author of The Chair, Volumes 1 and 2, he's a tweeting machine. You'll find him out there on Twitter. So, retweet what he does, and he'll retweet what you do. So that's the trade-off there.
He's also a writing machine. Volume 3 of The Chair is substantially done and slated for release sometime early summer. So we're looking forward to that.
All right. Now, here's, I'm looking at my notes here. Vashti, what's this about a haunted cathedral?
Oh, okay. There was an incident when I was in college. I was crammed into a small car, like a lot of college students do when we go out, and decided to go by this cathedral in Florida. Excuse me. The kids were talking about how they've heard stories about the cathedral, how it's haunted, how there are ghosts in there and all that, which I guess that's what haunted means. And I remember thinking, oh, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, there's no such thing as ghosts. There's no haunting. But I turned, and as we were passing by, I turned to look towards the cathedral just to get a good look at it. And suddenly I see this man. He's dressed in black priest wear, and he's holding a Doberman pincher. And the dog is just sitting there staring towards the car, and so was he. Followed his eyes, like, followed me as the car was going by. And he just had this look. It didn't seem normal or even human. It was just this odd look on his face, and it kind of looked evil. It scared the crap out of me. And I turned to tell my friends, look at this guy. Who is this? Or whatever. And when I turned back, I mean, seconds later, he wasn't there anymore. And there was, like, nowhere he can go where we wouldn't be able to see him. He just disappeared out of thin air. So I don't know what that was about. I don't know who that man was. But there's no way that he and the dog could disappear just like that so quickly in seconds. So that was a weird experience that I had when I was in college. And it gave me the creeps, and I had nightmares for many nights after that.
Well, there's a story there. You could write a story about the haunted cathedral.
I definitely could.
So you've had another supernatural kind of experience too. This one with your grandmother.
I've always been very close to my grandmother. This is my maternal grandmother. I just love her with all my heart, and when she passed away, I wasn't there. You know, I wasn't able to say goodbye like I would have wanted to. I was there the day before. I was in the hospital with her, and I guess I wasn't getting it that was her last night, or I just didn't know. And everyone was telling me, no, you should go home now. You have to go to school the next day. You need to get some sleep. So they said, you could come back tomorrow. So I left. And right after school, I went straight over there. I got hitched a ride, and I went over there. And I went to her room. And the room was emptied, and the bed was made and everything. And I remember a nurse coming in, and I was looking around. And she asked if I was looking for I asked if my grandmother had gone down or to get procedure done or whatever. And the nurse goes, oh, no, the lady that was there, she passed away. So that was like a big shock. And I had always felt like I needed to say goodbye to my grandmother. I never got to say goodbye to her. So one night shortly after she passed away, I was sleeping. And in the middle of the night, something woke me. I don't know what it was. My eyes sprung open, and I sat up in bed, and I saw my grandmother at the foot of the bed just looking at me. And she had this really sweet, angelic look to her. And, I mean, it was just like a split second. But I know I saw her. And I remember getting out of bed, even though it was the middle of the night, and I didn't go back to sleep because I didn't want people telling me, oh, you were having a dream or whatever. I wanted to stay up the rest of the night just to prove to myself and everybody else that I did see her and it was not a dream. But this was a totally different experience from the other one that I mentioned. This experience was a very calming experience. It's almost like she was there to give me a chance to say goodbye, the chance that I didn't have. So,
did you feel like you did get that chance, that you did get to say it?
I feel like I did, yeah.
Good. Yeah, you were feeling the love rather than the malice of the mysterious priest who was staring you down.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
We do have another caller, if you want to take the caller.
Great, let's go.
All right.
Hello.
Here we go. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi there. This is Verwayne from the UP.
Hi, Verwayne.
Hey.
Love,
how you
love
doing?
The thought picture of the deer.
Yeah, thank you. Just thought I'd call in and say hey to Vashti. I bump into her all the time on Twitter and just wanted to let her know I enjoy her writing.
Okay.
Hi.
And,
thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Actually, we're looking at, I'm going to be going down to Florida here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and I'm looking to pick up a house down there.
So, wow.
It's kind of heavy, isn't it? You're going to pick it up?
We lived in Florida for 10, 11 years. When Judy worked, and Judy was my wife was a traveling nurse. We were all over Florida. We were in Miami. We lived right across on the southeast corner of the Miami International Airport. We could watch the planes come in, land, take off all the time. So I know right where Pembroke Pines is. Went through that fine city several times. So,
I bet you it was farms when you used to come by.
Yeah.
The one thing I always loved
was going south on 95 when if you weren't doing 100, 110, you're going to get run over. So that was always.
Yeah, I remember.
That was always interesting. And so, but anyway, I just wanted to say hello to you. And like I said,
thank
I enjoy
you so
your work.
Much, thank you so
much. Well, thanks.
I appreciate you.
Yep, you take
thanks
care.
Thanks for checking in, Verwayne. We appreciate
good night.
You. We really do.
Yeah.
Good night.
People are definitely encouraged to call in and gush about how great our guest is each week. And if they want to mention how cool the hosts are too, that's fine with us as well.
Yeah. Back in the 80s, I lived in Fort Myers for a couple of years. And if you're not driving 100 miles an hour on the freeway, you're liable to get run over. That's the truth. I remembered that. You start learning NASCAR moves out there. Hey, guess what? We do have another caller on here. You want to take this one as well?
Yeah, thanks, Verwayne.
Okay, here's another caller. So we will find out. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Florida. This is Karen Ingalls.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Vashti. I think we need to have a reunion of all the authors down here in Florida.
Ooh, that would be fun.
You're right.
And I think those that aren't in Florida need to come down because the weather's perfect, and we could just have a really good writing time.
That would be
that
awesome.
Like an idea.
I'm all into it.
I like the idea, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, Vashti, sometime I think you and I, we need to meet over a cup of coffee. We have a lot in common. The more I hear about you and your art and your spiritual side, everything, we do have a lot in common. We could talk for hours, I know that. So I'm so excited to read your new book, and I wish you the best, and keep writing, okay?
I sure will. Thank you so much, Karen.
Okay. All right, hon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks for checking in, Karen.
Yeah,
oh
Fresh Ink Group's got a bit of a concentration of Florida authors and South Texas authors for some reason. We got a lot of people in Texas.
Yeah,
so.
We sure do.
We're just going to have to start the 2022 FIG tour, travel across the country, get all our authors together and party like it's 2022.
Got a couple out in Washington State as well with Forrest Stepnowski and Ronnie Deshay as well. So.
And Ellie Collins.
Oh, yeah. Those are
and Ellie Collins.
Yeah.
She's in the Seattle area, across
That's
the water
right.
from Seattle.
That's right.
So.
Okay.
Vashti, you've had three callers now call in just to endorse how good you are and how much they enjoy your work, and that's the way we like it.
That's so awesome right now. I'm going to sleep so good tonight.
Okay,
now,
we're going to...
Hold on a second. I want to throw this in while it's still relevant. Marlena Smith on Twitter said, I'm game for a Florida reunion. Not too far for us in Bama. Lovely to hear some other familiar voices.
That's true.
There you go.
That's right.
And Marlena, it's like 45 minutes from where I am. So, Marlena, we'll ride down together.
There you go.
So, what I started to say was we're going to try to squeeze one more commercial in here, and then we're going to get real serious with Vashti talking about these books with the really cool covers and great stories inside. So, Bean, you want to run another one?
I will.
What drives a man to spend 26 years performing night after night? To persevere through a stifling tour bus, bad food, strange women, flared tempers, a plane nearly blown from the sky? Just how did that troubled military brat with a dream claw his way from dirt floor dive bar shows to the world's biggest stages? Aviator, author, and Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon lived that dream playing with Alabama, one of the most popular and celebrated bands of all time. He learned some hard lessons about people and life, the music industry, the accolades and awards, how easy it is to lose it all, and how hard it is to survive, to embrace sobriety, to live even one more day. Herndon's poignant memoir offers a tale at once cautionary and inspirational, delightful and heartbreaking, funny yet deeply personal. From innocence to rebellion to acceptance, can a man still flourish when the spotlight dims? Are true forgiveness, redemption, and serenity even possible when the powerful say everything you achieved somehow doesn't even count? That you're not who you and everyone who matters thought you were? Find all this and more in Mark's remarkable memoir, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip, proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in paperback and ebooks. And now in the keepsake dust-jacketed hardcover edition demanded by true fans. Mark Herndon refuses to slow down. So look back, look ahead, and join him on the trip. He's taking the high road.
Yeah, so speaking of memoirs, that one right there, I read that one. That's an excellent memoir. I mean, it's so full of the insider deals and details of what it's like to be on the road in one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah, a band with 40, I think it's 40 number one records.
Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah, he's definitely got a lot of stories to tell, but, and it's not dishing dirt either. Like he said, it's the high road.
No.
And he talks about all the good stuff and the things he learned, and it freely admits the mistakes that he made along the way and how he's grown from them. And it's just a wonderful book. We highly endorse it.
Okay, so as Stephen said before we went to the commercial, let's talk books by Vashti.
Yeah, let's get the basement out of the way first, because if people go to Amazon, they're going to see The Basement listed as one of your books. Do you want to tell us what's going on with that before we get into the others?
Well, that's a long story, but I'll make it short.
Okay.
The Basement, the publisher of The Basement, I hadn't started self-publishing yet. So I had a publisher, Tate Publishing was the name, and something shifty or whatever, I don't know if that's a good word, but something bad was happening with that company, and they ended up going bankrupt. And it's my understanding that the president of the company is in jail.
Wow.
So I don't know what was happening with that. But anyway, so I wrote to Amazon, and I told them to please take down The Basement so that I could republish it. I wanted to do some, you know, make some tweaks because I did write that book like 9 years ago. I've learned so much and grown so much as a writer since then. You know, I wanted to rewrite it and, you know, apply the things I've learned and republish it. But for some reason, even though the company's out of business and the president's nowhere to be found, they don't want to take it down. So I tell as many people as I can, you know, not to purchase that book, even though I believe they're not selling it right now or something like that. But I'm going to write a new edition of that book, and then put it on Amazon. And then people will know by seeing second edition that that's the one that they should get.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. So with that out of the way, what's memoir? Speaking of memoirs again, there's that word keeps popping up. Memoir of a Mad Woman.
And speaking of talking to a mad woman.
I know this is a popular, quite a popular book because I know many people have read it. So give us the scoop on this one.
Okay, this is actually a novelette. So it's a little longer than a short story, but it's not a full novel. It's fiction. It's more of a psychological fiction with some horror sprinkled into it. And it's about a young girl named Emma. She's not right in the head. And as if that wasn't enough, you know, she went through a lot in her life. Starting with her mom's abuse and neglect, and then she went to an orphanage where her mom died, and she was abused there, and in the end she snaps, and she does horrible things. But this book is about people shouldn't push other people to the breaking point, you know what I mean? Is about showing kindness to people, especially the ones that need it the most, which are the ones that have mental illness, the ones that may be orphaned, the ones that have been, you know, that have had traumatic things in their lives, instead of taking advantage of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, that's interesting, you know. In today's society, I mean, with social media, you got cowards who hide on Twitter, and that's what they'll do. They see someone's down, and they attack with these, you know,
exactly.
Hiding behind a fake Twitter account. And that's,
yeah,
that can drive anybody to crack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And imagine someone that's already unstable, that's been through hell and back, and then is continuously taken advantage of, you know, that person's going to snap. That person's going to do things. And what surprised me the most about this particular novelette is that a lot of people were cheering her on. It's not that they liked the bad things that she did in the end, but they were like, they felt for her. They were on her side. Despite the fact that she was crazy, despite the fact what she did, because she had been through so much that people were able to, you know, feel for her.
Well, that's a sign of good writing there, character development.
Yeah, you've engendered sympathy among your readers, but the more you get into crazy, you probably also find some empathy among the readers as well.
See,
yeah.
I didn't
want to
go there.
Yeah. Hey, crazy people can write good reviews. That's what matters, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've read it.
So your three-book series, then, it's called the Fantasy Angels series, and that starts with the first book, The Fall of Lilith, and these are the ones we've been talking about that have that look of an ancient tome on each of the three covers. So The Fall of Lilith, that was the first book in the series, is that right?
That is right.
So
let me get
what's
my
it about?
Together here. Are you guys familiar with the show The Voice?
Yeah.
Okay, one of the judges, Nick Jonas, the singer, he writes notes about everything. He writes notes when the contestants are singing. He writes notes when the other judges are talking. He's just writing notes all the time. Well, that's me. I write notes about everything. I have a lot of notes here just from preparing for this show. I don't want to let my readers, followers, friends down, you know, by not having the right information in front of me. But anyway, The Fall of Lilith. The Fall of Lilith is a book about origins. The origin of angels and other supernatural beings, the origin of rebellion and the war in heaven, and the origin of earth, mankind, and even sin. this is where I tried. I wanted to get those answers, and I was like wrestling with myself to figure out the answers to these questions, and I put them in this book. Baldwin is also divided into two books, Book One, Heaven, and Book Two, Earth. So you're basically getting two books in one. I introduced the readers to many of the characters, and there's a lot of world building going on here. And this book was, like I mentioned earlier, was a huge challenge for me because I had never written an epic novel before. There were days when I thought this project was completely over my head. I felt like I had bit more than I could chew, and I was tempted to quit many times. But something inside me kept pushing me forward, and perhaps that was my own curiosity, you know, to get these answers. I did a lot of research. A lot of people don't think that when you write fiction, you need to do any research, but it's the other way around.
Yeah,
when you write fiction, especially fantasy, you really have to have all the little details grounded in reality. Otherwise, it's just flim-flam, and nobody's going to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when I finally finished the book, I felt like this overwhelming feeling of accomplishment and relief because there were times I thought I wasn't going to be able to do it. But I wasn't done yet because while writing this book, several of the characters demanded that their story be told. That's when The Fall of Lilith went from a one and done to an epic series. Because when I first started writing this book, I didn't think it was going to be a series. I wasn't thinking series at all.
Wow.
But by the time I finished it, I'm like, this has to be a series because there's certain characters that they want their own story told. So that's Son of the Sun and The Rise of Gethsemane came up. What was that?
I said I like books like that. I like books that have those kind of powerful characters to that as you say demand that their stories be told. That's a testament to good writing, to good character development.
Now I remember one scene in particular that I read took place in the Garden of Eden. Is there a lot of biblical inspiration in terms of the places and the characters and things like that come together in this story, or is it mostly your own world?
No, there's a lot of influences here from the Bible, from Torah, from Greek, Roman, and Indian mythology, Norse mythology. There's a lot that goes in this story. So you can't really say it's a religious story or a biblical story because there's too much of everything else in there. Including some of my own versions of things.
Okay. So these other characters that wanted their stories told, I assume that led to Son of the Serpent next?
Correct. In Son of the Serpent, Lilith continues to develop into being who she was always going to be, a demon witch. Dracul, who was her son, and the son of Satan, struggles with what he thinks is his true nature and who he wants to be, which is just to be a good person. So we have that he's the opposite of his parents, in other words. In his book, in his story, people find out that his mother, Lilith, tries to kill him as a child and abandons him for dead in the forest. He survives, but he has no memory of that event until later on. And once that memory comes back, he has this overwhelming feeling of revenge. He needed to find his mother, and he needed to confront her and find out why she tried to kill him, why she didn't love him. And while he's on this journey to find his mother, confront her, and possibly kill her, he goes through different events, some biblical, some mythological. Like he gets to meet Moses.
Okay.
You know, he gets to be in Noah's Ark.
Oh, wow.
So also, Gabrielle is in this book as well. She was a very popular character in The Fall of Lilith, and so I incorporated her in this, in Son of the Serpent as well. So she's in all three books.
Okay, and then the most recent release of yours, The Rise of Gadriel, is her story?
Correct. The Rise of Gadriel is the third and final book in the Fantasy Angel series. Gadriel is the main character. She was an important secondary character in the first two books, and readers have been, you know, had been asking me from the start when she was going to get her book, her own book. So this is my reply to them. she's one of the most popular characters in the series and my personal favorite as well. So it's no surprise that this was the book I had the most fun writing. Also, you know, I had more experience in, you know, writing the series already and had more knowledge of self-publishing. So I was a little more at ease writing this book as well.
Yeah, Gadriel's a great character. I especially like Lilith. But then again, I think I dated a demon witch one time, too. So there might be some empathy there.
I was thinking the same thing.
I don't remember what her name was. But if yours is fictional, it had to be something different. So the Rise of Gadriel, that's been out for, what, a couple months now?
Yeah, it was released December 22nd, 2020. I was determined to release it in 2020 because I wanted something good to come out of that year.
Oh, so what a wonderful thought.
I was rushing there at the end trying to get that out.
Hmm.
Well, if I wasn't so lazy, I would have had something to contribute to 2020 as well. But, you know, my stories get done when they get done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Rise of Gadriel, that's the final story of this series.
Correct.
That's what you said, right?
I was
okay,
thinking
so
of maybe
far as
some
you know.
Spin-off from other characters, but I'm not sure yet. You
yeah,
know,
I
there are some
say,
other characters that I brought up but
so
want to
like,
know more about.
Okay, so like the guy on Noah's Ark that's in charge of cleaning out the cages, is he demanding a story?
No.
Oh, okay.
He already has his story in the Bible, so.
Okay.
So what is next? What are you working on?
Right now I'm working on a thriller.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's dang. A crime thriller.
A crime thriller.
I like a good
yeah,
crime thriller.
Can you tease us with any details?
Well, it has to do with a serial killer. for one thing, I want to make a great effort to make the characters unique, not like your typical crime thriller characters. Like, the main character is not going to be a drunk detective that's, you know, depressed all the time and that kind of thing. Right now, what I've just finished writing the outline for it and fleshing out the characters a little bit, like doing their character diamonds. But I have a ton of notes of what I want the story to be like. But, you know, the age-old question, am I a planner or a pantser? I would say I'm a planter because I write a loose. I'm a combination of both. I write a loose outline of my stories. When I write the first draft, I write as it comes out of my head. But eventually, my characters take over. This always happens. They always take over, and then the story ends up developing organically. I do a lot of research. I do the character diamonds. I do the outline, then I do the first draft, then my self-edit, then it goes to beta readers, then the editor, and then the proofreader. That's pretty much my protocol.
So how far along are you on this one? Almost done?
No way.
Just getting going.
No, I'm doing some research. I have to... it's set in Miami. So
I would like to go to the Coral Gables Police Department and interview a couple of the detectives there and take a look around so I can have notes for my description.
Good.
Psychologist that I want to talk to, she helped me with the other book as far as the psychological part, so I wanted to talk to her about that so I can get into my character's deranged mind a little bit more. So I have that to do. I have that in line. And I've written the outline, like a loose outline of the story. I have a bunch of notes. I've done some research, and I've done the character diamonds, and I'm now sketching the characters and adding like little quirks and character traits. And then I'll take a break from it, and then I'll start my first draft.
Okay.
But I like to walk away from it after the outline for a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Let
well,
it all marinate in my...
the old marination. We are about out of time. So tell the listening audience where they can find you, where they can contact you on social media.
Well, I'm on Twitter. My handle is VashtiQV. My blog is The Writer Next Door, VashtiQ. I'm on Facebook, VashtiQ. Instagram, VashtiWrites. All my books are on Amazon. I have an Amazon page. Just put in my name, VashtiQ Rozega, on Amazon, and it'll take you to my page where I have all my books and my bio. That's about it.
Okay.
That's Vashti Quiroz Vega. We encourage everybody to get out there and discover the great work by this great writer. And Vashti, we appreciate you coming on with us today and spending all this time. And we look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Well, I had a lot of fun. I am so grateful for everyone that called in and that chimed in on Twitter. I'm so appreciative of you guys. Love you guys. And I had fun. The hour just went by, like flew by. So
yeah, see, there was nothing to be nervous about.
Yeah.
I always get nervous. It doesn't matter how many times I tell myself, you don't need to get nervous. You don't have to do it. I always get nervous, but that's okay. You guys sent me at ease right away. And,
human nature. All right. Yeah, and like Steven said, you know, maybe we'll have you on again. Perhaps when you get the new crime thriller done and we can come on and talk crime thrillers.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Okay, listeners, remember, you can find these podcasts. You can listen again to Vashti or some of the other shows that we've done by going to the YouTube channel, Fresh Ink Group, or to freshinkgroup.com for the podcast tab. Or beamweeks.com or stephengees.com. And where else, Beam?
We can also be found at Spotify. Go to your Spotify account, type in Voice of Indy, all one word, and you should find us without any trouble. Everything's over there. And choose the one you want to listen to.
Now, next week's guest is a surprise because we have an invitation out and haven't heard back yet. So we will be surprised when we get our response to that invitation. But we promise you this, it'll be somebody interesting. And if Vashti didn't prove we can get some good guests, then I don't know who could.
So once again, thank you to Vashti. Thank you for being on the show with us. And
thanks, everybody.
Thanks to all the callers.
I'm happy to be here. Thank everybody.
Okay. Thanks to the callers and to those on Twitter as well. You guys showed up in force tonight, and we are proud to have you in our audience.
See you next time.
See y'all next week, everybody.
Bye.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.